and put away the calculators, that means I'm 61 now. But in 1994, I've been married to Josie for 14 happy years, and we had three lovely, healthy children. I've been pastoring a good, strong church in our town for about 8 years at that time, and I had lots of supportive, loving friends. Our material needs were being well met. Life was actually pretty good. Everyone looking in, life was pretty good. And I was depressed. I had no joy, I had no spark, no enthusiasm, just a work ethic from my childhood, basically, that had me putting one foot in front of the other. Didn't feel like it, but I just kept at it. In that year, I got embroiled in a church leadership dispute. I think that's the first one that's ever happened in the history of the church. But somehow I got involved in it. And the circumstances are irrelevant. I'm not going to go into any detail about circumstances. But the point is, I couldn't resolve it. I couldn't come to the bottom of it. And I actually liked the guys I was in conflict with. And I couldn't understand why the issue couldn't be fixed. It was beyond me. And in the end, they left the church. And that didn't make me feel any better. I was locked in my thinking in kind of a prison. A prison that caused me frustration and guilt and negativity and heaviness, and to those close to me, probably a bit of a sour spirit. The issues were real. The things that happened were real. But my depressed state of mind was not really a result of what was around me. It was a result of what was in me. Do you know the difference? It was not what was around me, it was what was in me. My wrong thinking and the impact that that had on my emotional state and my spiritual state. My wrong thinking. Now, our thinking has a huge impact on whether we have a healthy or an unhealthy life. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James says, "As a person thinks in his heart, so he or she is." Now, you don't need to be a mental health professional to know that. Our thinking can be healthy or unhealthy. Let's pray. Father God, as we come this morning to your word and to this important topic of our mental health, of our thinking, about the way we look at life, I pray by your Holy Spirit, you'll just open a doorway of light into any darkness that may be there in our minds. That you would open the chink of that door to let your light in, to let your Holy Spirit light in, that we might go from ill health to health in the area of our thinking. And Lord, it's unlikely our thinking is completely unhealthy, but Lord, there may be elements of unhealthiness. And Lord, you want to breathe health upon every area of our life. You don't want to leave anything out. You want us to be whole. You want us to be abundant in our living. So we pray, Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds, and our spirits. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I really do believe that if we can grab hold of the truth of today's message, it will not only have us thinking differently, but our whole life can be different. Not just the way we think, but our life can be different. Who believes that your life is important to God? Who believes that? Anyone? You believe your life's important to God? I do. I believe it for me, and I believe it for everyone here today. And God wants to use you, and he wants to use me, to impact this world. To do something for him. Now maybe, as you're listening, maybe online, maybe you're not a Christian as you listen to this message. But I'd like you to stay tuned as well, because I think this message has got relevance for your life as well as for anyone who is a follower of Jesus. Because the principles of what I'm sharing will benefit you. They will benefit you. Because no matter what you think about God, he's got a plan for your life. Even if you, at this time of your life, are not accepting him, not receiving him, He has actually got a plan for your life as much as he has for every one of us sitting in this place today. Now, from a Christian perspective, God's plan for our life is one that starts with personal faith in Jesus and never ends. It never ends. It goes right into eternity. And I think it's a shame, I think it's a pity that so often, whether we're Christian or non-Christian, we don't fully grab hold of everything that God's got for us. Now, I think that's true of all of us, to be honest. I don't think any of us get fully what God has for us, because we're all held back in various and different ways. But surely our focus should be to gain as much of that life that God's got for us as we can. Can you say amen to that? And so often the fact that we're led along with unhealthy, negative, wrong thought processes is one of the reasons we're kept down. The Bible says that our mind is a battlefield. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 onwards says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's a tall order, every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. As we speak about mental health, I'm not, and our right thinking, I'm not suggesting for a moment that these things are straightforward and simple and easy and there's no application on our part. There is. There is. But in God, I believe fervently, there's always a way through. There's always a way through. And often I think what happens is, rather than us taking our thoughts captive, our thoughts take us captive. There's a difference. And it's a critical difference. We're meant to be taking our thoughts captive, but our thoughts so often take us captive. We can get so focused on what is wrong, what is amiss, what is not working out, that we totally miss seeing what is right, what is going well, what the blessing is. And such thinking makes it extremely difficult to have a thankful attitude towards the Lord, which I think is one of the most potent keys towards spiritual and mental health. Now, I want to say something here very important, so listen carefully. If you're online, please listen carefully. I want to acknowledge that there are medical, chemical reasons sometimes for wrong thinking. Medical, chemical reasons for wrong thinking. And these need to be taken seriously and dealt with professionally. If you've been diagnosed in this regard, whether you're sitting here in church today or whether you're there online, if you've been diagnosed in this regard, continue with whatever professional regimen you've been given, including medication. And apply this message alongside whatever you've been told to do medically. That is a very important thing to remember. I've had the sad experience of a friend of mine who had a mental condition. He needed chemicals to stay balanced. And sadly, a brother or sister in Christ said, no, you don't need that. Jesus has set you free. You're healed in Jesus' name. And sadly, he went off his medication on that person's advice. And 3 months later, he was no longer with us. And while he was on medication, while he was treating the condition, he had a full-time job, he had good relationships, he was cheerful, he was positive. When he followed the advice of that wrong advice, that unwise advice, he was lost to us, at least from this world. I don't believe he was lost to God, but he was lost to us. So please, please hear what I'm saying. Don't disregard chemical factors when they relate to mental health. Very, very important that we don't do that. And another thing I'd say, don't accept any guilt or condemnation from the enemy or any fellow Christian regarding your situation. Reject it in Jesus' name. You want to do something in Jesus' name? Reject that condemnation. When we see someone coming to church and they've got a cast on their leg because they've broken their leg, we don't go, oh, what are you doing there? What are you doing? Why aren't you living in health? Get rid of that cast in Jesus' name. Some people need a chemical cast to be whole, to be steady. Do you understand what I'm saying? They need a chemical cast. So just as we wouldn't condemn someone who has got a plaster cast on their leg, why on earth would we condemn someone who's got a chemical cast? It's so wrong. And it's led to so many tragic outcomes that I only mention one. I know of numbers. So let's be careful of that. Let's support a brother in Christ who's got a chemical-related mental condition. Let's support them. Let's never, ever condemn. Never. So no matter what our starting point today, whether we've got a chemical factor or whether we've just got behavioural factors, let's look at this in the light of Scripture. John 8:31 says, we know the truth of the Word of God, we can be set free. And nothing I'm saying today is meant to mean that we're going to live in some kind of positive thinking fairyland where just everything's honky-dory and we don't care about what's going on because it doesn't matter because I'm a positive thinker. I'm not saying that. You know, we have responsibilities before God in some matters, particularly when we have the authority to bring change. The reality, though, is that much of our wrong and critical thinking and comment is about things that are either unimportant, have you seen Facebook, outside our control, in other words, you can't do anything about it, or something we're not really prepared to do anything about, we just want to talk negatively about it. That so often is what our negative thinking and our negative conversation is centered around. We all can tend to have negative speech and complain about things at times. Everyone's guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. You know, my football team didn't do well on Friday night. I'm guilty of some negative speech about in the last 48 hours. But if our thinking and talk is continually tending towards negativity, then take stock of yourself and ask the question, is this really where God wants me to be? If there's a continual stream that's not right, ask yourself a question. Because we know there's a better place to be in our thinking, and that will affect the way we interact with others. Sometimes people say, well, nobody wants to hang around with me. And sometimes I've been bold enough to say, look, you carry a negative spirit. You always seem to be pointing out something that's wrong. People would love to be around you if you could just shift your speech just a couple of degrees so your first thought is something good, not something bad. The first step for me in right thinking is so simple that's easy to miss its importance, and that is the simple fact that God is good. God is good. Your God, my God, is good. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Because he's good, everything he made is good, including you. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all he'd made, and it was very good. We serve a good God who's full of good things. And he loves to give that goodness to us. So what do we do with that goodness of God? If we believe that God is good, then what is the appropriate response? If you're good to your children, and we all try to be good to our kids, how do we want them to respond? With gratitude. With thankfulness. We'd be looking for a thankful, appreciative attitude. And God is no different. And he doesn't deserve any less from us. He expects that we will have a thankful heart. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. There'll be no grumbling in heaven. So let's get in the Spirit. Let's get in the right place. There's not going to be any grumbling there. There's going to be just thanksgiving. Even Jesus, the Son of God, when he broke the bread and offered to the Father before He offered to the Father before he distributed to the crowd. Even Jesus had a thankful heart towards his Father. We can even thank God in advance. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Now, when I used to travel to Africa and Papua New Guinea, and when Josie and I lived in Haiti for those years, I couldn't help but be impressed by these materially poor people. I say materially poor, that's the only way they're poor. Materially poor people's acknowledgement of the goodness of God and their thankfulness for every small mercy. They'd got their mind around the goodness of God and they were thankful for it. They had so much around them that was not good. They seemed to have so little to be thankful for in the natural, but yet they were thankful. Yet they were smiling, yet they were happy. And you sort of dig a bit and think, are they just putting that on? No, they weren't. There was a joy that sadly is so often lacking in our materialistic Western culture. Has anyone else found that to be true when they travelled a bit more widely than Brussels? Nothing wrong with being in Brussels or Ipswich, but somebody's got to go beyond to see that there's a whole new, whole other reality. And that was an amazing reality I saw when I'd been in developing countries, is that materially poor but spiritually rich. So I was asked the question today, who thinks that it's right and good to be positive in our thinking and thankful to the Lord? We'd all go, yeah, I believe that. Of course I believe that. It's a rhetorical question because we know the answer. But despite that, we can still be living in this rut of negativity. In other words, our thinking is not reflecting the reality of the God that we say we believe in. There's a dissonance between what we believe and what we say and what we think. Now, there are reasons for why that happens. There are reasons. Sometimes we've had wrong parental modelling. Our parent experience simply wasn't that good. Overexposure to negative media. You know, sometimes we do need to turn the TV off. It's not bad to keep a little bit informed about COVID, and we do the same. But sometimes, you know, do you need to hear about every race riot? You know, there's a lot of negative media. Sometimes we've had some real disappointments. I don't minimize that. When we've had real disappointments. Grief. Grief is a real thing. A bitter spirit. Unforgiveness. Critical input. Sometimes our teachers have told us we're no good. Our parents have told us we're no good. Our peers have told us we're no good. That can have an impact on our thinking. Sometimes it's physical tiredness. Has anyone noticed they get a bit grumpy when they're tired? It's a reality. There's physical reality. That's what I said further about the chemical thing with the brain. That tiredness is a temporary thing, but it affects your thinking. Comparison. There's a big one. We could spend all morning on comparison and how that undermines our thinking. Comparison about spouses. Comparison about houses, about cars, about jobs, about children, about this, about that. Selfishness, simple selfishness, can undermine our wrong thinking. Our right thinking. But wrong thinking can turn into right thinking. One of the greatest things about being in Christ, and I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest things about being in Christ is that whatever lesser place we find ourselves in, God has got a better place. Every single time. Whatever lesser place you find yourself in, God has got a better place for you. And so with that in mind, there are several things we can do, both practical and spiritual, to overcome a wrong mindset. And I'm going to finish by 22. See how we go. Number one. Who's that cheeky person out there? Firstly, take responsibility for yourself. You are the number one responsible person for your attitudes and actions. Not your parents, not your past teachers, not your old relationships. You are number one responsible for what is going on now. Now. You're not responsible for what happened then. You are responsible for what's going to happen now out of your life. Ezekiel 18 says, verse 20 says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked be charged against him. You can blame others until the cows come home. But nothing will change. Nothing will change. You know, I certainly blamed those church leaders back in 1994, and my blame of them did me no good. There was no healing in me blaming those guys. I did it anyway. But there was no healing in it. There's no healing in it, and that was one of the reasons why I was depressed. Secondly, take responsibility yourself, then don't judge others. God has not given us the role of judge over other people. There was this person called Jesus, you may have heard of him. He said this in Matthew 7, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You know, a critical spirit gives rise to a negative spirit, whether it's to do with our marriage, our boss, our kids, church. No negative things about church here, of course. But if we're judging, it's so easy to give rise to a critical spirit. Let's not judge. Thirdly, watch what you watch and listen to. Be careful not to allow the media to create this negative, heavy picture in your head. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And by the way, let me say in there, God doesn't have a good will, a pleasing will, and a perfect will. He doesn't have three wills for you, and hopefully you'll get the right one. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Okay? It's all free. We're not hanging out, well, I hope I get at least a pleasing one. No, it's all good. A big part of our wrong thinking can be we're just soaking in the wrong stuff. And after a while, we start to smell exactly what we soak in. So let's not soak in the wrong stuff. Listen to worship. Listen to good podcasts. Read good books. You could even give the Bible a try. Get some good input. Positive, good stuff that's going to lift you. Fourth, keep physically and mentally fresh. There's no doubt that when we get run down, we tend to slip into bad thinking and fault finding. Job, he was here for a good reason. He was pretty crook. He was pretty sick. And when he got crook and sick, he said, I loathe my very life. Therefore I'll give free rein to my complaint and speak out of the bitterness of my soul. That's what can happen when we get run down, when we get sick, when we get physically down. Physical exercise benefits not just our mind, but not just our bodies is what I mean to say. It's not just good for our bodies, it's good for our minds. Motion impacts emotion. One of the things a doctor dealing with a depressed person will tell them, get out and walk. I don't feel like it. Get out and walk. The more you walk, the better you'll feel. It's true. You don't have to turn into an Olympic athlete overnight. But most of us can walk the block. Walk the block. If that's all you can do. You know, just walk the block. Or walk down the street and walk back. It can change your thinking. Find yourself a park where there's some nice eucalyptus smells and things and walk around and you know, you want him to pay for a little bottle of oil that God's put on the tree and you'll be able to smell it right there. It's marvellous. Keep physically and mentally fresh. It's very important. Number five, deal with unforgiveness and associated bitterness. I'm not going to go on about it, it's so obvious. But we need to deal with any unforgiveness, any bitterness that's gone with that. Matthew 6 and verse 14 to 15 says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now some people go to great mental gymnastics about, what did Jesus mean by that? If I don't forgive others, Jesus is not going to forgive me? hey, forget about it, don't worry about it, just forgive. Don't worry about the theological ramifications, but if you don't forgive, Jesus has told us, forgive. Just do what he said. Don't try and be too gymnastical about it. Is that a word? Now, I have no doubt that I had a degree of bitterness towards those guys back in 1994. If you'd asked me at the time, I probably would have denied it, because I was a pastor. But as I look back, I'm quite sure that I was. Repent of comparison and ungratefulness. Remember those Israelites murmuring in the wilderness? God was not really that happy with them. So let's not continue the pattern. The good news is we repent of comparison, if we repent of ungratefulness, God forgives us again. 1 John 1:9 says, confession of sins results in forgiveness and purification from unrighteousness. Let's not get into comparison. That comparison is probably one of the greatest shortcuts to unhappiness. It really is. And finally, practice positive and thankful speech patterns. If your speech becomes uplifting, your emotions and thought patterns are going to follow. I wonder how many of us would be brave enough to ask our closest friends, our husband, or our wife, or our children, am I a positive person? I'm not saying you have to go and do it, but I wonder, would you be brave enough to do it? Okay? Aim to be a person who is thought of by others as positive. And I can assure you, you'll be on the right track. If when others think of you, they think, hey, that Wendy, she's a positive person. She's positive. And I'm not wrong, she is. I could say the same thing of Karen, and I'm sure if I knew all of you better, I'd probably say the same thing of you guys as well. But it's good that people think of us and they think, yeah, that's a positive lady, that's a positive guy. That should be our aim. That people should think of it. So you say, John, it shouldn't worry about how people think about us. Yes, it does. Because it affects your witness. It affects how people see Jesus. That's why it matters how they think about you. And when they think about you, they should think, there's a positive lover of Jesus. I'd like to be like them. It's important. Give God the joy of hearing your thanks to Him and to others. Give God the joy of hearing that. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I'm finishing up now. A bit over what I said, but it's not hard to get our mind out of sync with God. It's not hard to develop wrong thinking. It's not hard to see what's wrong and continually talk about it. It's not hard to drift into ungratefulness. We can all have the potential for that. But we know that kind of thinking is not going to make us happy and will also cause us not to be the influencer that God wants us to be. The best way to influence this generation as a Christian is not to harp on everything that is wrong with the world. What's wrong with the world is plainly obvious. People do not need us to point it out to them. What they need is to show what a genuine, vital relationship with Jesus looks like. You don't need to highlight everything that's bad in the world. You just need to show how good Jesus is. That's all we need to do. And we do that through a positive outlook in word and action. It begins with our mind, our thinking. Our thinking shapes our hearts. And our heart shapes our words and then our actions. You know, my thinking around my depression changed in a very unremarkable way. Someone shared a song with me. Can you believe that? Someone shared a song with me. It was on a CD. They didn't serenade me. They gave me a CD. He said, John, I think you need to listen to this song. Oh, yeah, sure. Another worship song. Okay. But that song opened a door in my heart and in my mind that reminded me that God was God and I was not. God was God and God was not. Can you believe that's where my faulty thinking was? I thought I was on the same level with God, that I could control people and their responses. I'm a pastor. I should be able to help people see the truth. But I came to realize that I could do everything right. I'm not saying I did everything right, but I found I could do everything right and people could still respond badly. And as far as God was concerned, that was none of my business. But I'd made it my business. And that's the root of the depression. I'd made it my business. I failed to see that was between them and God, and I saw it as my job. My job. Now, it may sound dumb to you, but it was real to me. And it was so releasing to know that I wasn't accountable for God's business. Woo! What a weight off my shoulders. You think, John, how dumb were you thinking you had God's business? But I did. I didn't realize I could actually leave it with him, and that's actually what he wanted me to do, in fact. To do what I could that was right. I'm not saying he had nothing for me to do, but to do what was right and then leave it with him. So in closing, I'd just like to say this. Don't give too much attention to the things that tend to drag you down. They will always, always be there. Of that you can be sure. I'll give you that promise. They'll always be there. But don't give them too much attention. When you see your thinking, when you see your mindset getting caught up in ungratefulness or bitterness or judging or unforgiving or murmuring, then take a brave step, do what the Bible does and call it sin. Say, God, I'm sinning before you in having this mindset. Lord, I bring it to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me of this sin of wrong thinking, of ungratefulness, of murmuring, of complaining. And if you do that, he'll do it. It's his promise. It's his promise to us. The Bible says that he sets the captive free. And if we're in a prison of wrong thinking, that's definitely a prison that God wants to set us free from. So let's turn upon our eyes upon Jesus. That beautiful song goes, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Upturn our eyes upon the goodness of God. Speak to him of your gratefulness. Immerse yourself in good things like worship. And see your thinking. See your life. See your ministry set free by the power of God. Amen. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that no matter where we're at right now, no matter what the state of our thinking is, whether it's a bit messy and muddy at the moment or whether it's really clear and just flowing like a crystal stream, Lord, wherever we are at, you are able to bring us to a better place, to a place of refreshing, a place where our mind is set free from the heaviness of what tries to weigh us down. And thinking along your lines of thought, along a gospel line of thought, along a biblical line of thought, upon a worshipful line of thought. Lord, I pray we'd be bold enough to name wrong thinking for exactly what it is. Sinful thinking. Let's turn it over to you and let's have your forgiveness received in our heart as you promise us and be set free in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every one of us here in this building and online that if we are captive in our minds today, we will be set free in Jesus' name. And we believe that with all our hearts, Lord, you want to do that. And as you do it, Lord, we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise because it's you who's doing it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.